Okay, then the sixth point is don't bother worrying. Okay. Now, for a lot of people, I know it's going to be really hard. A lot of people are real worrywarts. Okay? You know, how many of you worry a lot? Yeah? Oh, we worry so much. Oh, I'm worried about this. Oh, I'm worried about that. You know, on your palm, you know, your PDA, you keep a record of all the things you're worried about. Actually, you don't even need to write them down because you remember them anyway. Okay? You know, our worries are just always there. Now we're worried about this, worried about that, worry this, worry that, worry. You know, we spend so much time worrying. And all that time could be used doing something constructive. You know, but we just waste our time worrying. It's really, sometimes we're very, very foolish, don't you think? Because what good does worrying do? I mean, really, what good does it do? Is there any benefit from worrying? I mean, there's no benefit. There's only handicaps. Because when we worry, our health is diminishes, doesn't it? When you worry, you know, great prescription for bad health, worry. Okay, you want to have bad health? Worry. Yeah, that's all it does. What does it do to our personal relationships when we worry? Well, when we worry, then all we do is talk to our friends about everything we're worried about. People get so bored listening to us. Oh, there he is again. Oh, he's worried about this and he's worried about this. This guy is so boring, you know. Actually, we might think we're very interesting because today I have a new worry to talk about. You know, wait, I'm not boring. You haven't heard my latest worry. Listen. But, you know, people get really bored with us if all we do is talk about our worries and our problems. You know, not very interesting. And so I think, you know, one way to live optimistically is just stop the worrying. Just leave it, you know. Shantideva, the great Indian sage, he said, if you can do something about it, do it. If you can't, no sense getting angry or worrying. So think about it. Think about the things you worry about. If there's something that you can do, there's absolutely no sense in worrying. Instead, start taking action to accomplish what you want. If there's nothing you can do, if the situation's out of your hands, then why worry? Nothing you can do. Might as well relax. So I think that, you know, Shantideva has some real words of wisdom here. And one thing that I find a lot when I talk to people nowadays is people are trying to control everything in their lives. And they worry because they can't control everything. Yeah? You want your family to be a certain way, and so you want to control everybody in your family so they do exactly what you want and, you know, everything turns out the way you want. Or you're working in a company and you want to control the client and the customer and the colleagues and your employers and your boss. You know, you want to control the whole process of whatever, you know, your company is doing. Can you? Can your boss? You know, we might say, I can't control. My boss can't control. Can the CEO even control? The CEO, sometimes, I think, is the one with the least bit of power. Yeah? Because you're CEO, what are you going to do? You can't boss everybody around. You know, when you're an employee, you think, oh, the CEO, he's kind of like the Pope, you know, he can do everything. Uh-uh. When you're the leader, you're more beholden to all the people that you're trying to lead, and you have to balance this one and balance that one and deal with all the politics. No, nobody has control of the situation. We're all kind of each doing our own little role, each doing our own little bit. But there's no one person who can control everything. Is there? No? And so somehow we have this totally unrealistic thing that we should be able to control everything in our life. We can't. So I think if we relax and we recognize, okay, I can't control everything, and that's okay, and I'm not going to worry about what I can't control. Now, I'm going to take joy in what's happening now. I'm going to live with my life with a lot of vitality and interest. I'm going to try and share love and kindness with others and solve more problems than I create. And I'm going to be content with that. Now, I'm not going to try and control everything because it's impossible. And so let go of all that worry that comes with trying to control. Think about it. When you catch yourself worrying, you have to press the pause button on the worry machine, okay? Because when we worry, what do? We go round and around and around in circles about the same thing. Oh, this person has this. Well, really, it's very boring. We even get bored. You know what we need to do is we need to get bored with our own worries. Yeah. I've also thought of that. You know, sometimes I lead meditation retreats and people say, oh, I'm so distracted by my life and all my worries. And so I've always thought, you know what would be so good is if we could exchange worries. Okay? So you worry about my things and I worry about your things. Yeah. Now what do you think would happen in your life if you had to worry about somebody else's stuff? Yeah. Do you think other people's worries are very interesting? Yeah? If I gave you all my worries, And you just had to focus on my worries, I think you'd get probably pretty bored. Yeah. Well, that's what we need to feel about our own worries. It's like, these are so boring. Yeah. I mean, think about it. If somebody else were worrying about our worries, they would be bored in no time flat. So let's just feel bored with your own worries. Let them go. It's really a waste of time. Okay, so that was the sixth. That was six. Okay, then seven is draw inspiration from those who came before you. Yeah, so to live optimistically, think of the people who have come before you, who have done what you want to do, and draw inspiration from them. Because there's so much we can look to that can inspire us. Okay? For example, part of the work I'm doing is trying to bring the Buddhist teachings to America. Yeah. America, very consumer culture, materialistic culture. People don't even know about past and future lives. Trying to spread the Dharma to a new country. Well, for inspiration, I look to the Buddhists of the past who have done that. And you think of the people, for example, Xuanzang. Who spread Buddhism from India to China. And you think of what he went to. I mean, Xuanzang walked all across the desert, and over the mountains into India. I forget how many years it took him to make that journey to go from China to India. And then once he arrived there, he had to walk everywhere in India, getting the teachings, getting the texts. Then he had to carry the text back. You know all the pictures of him with all the text piled on his back? Carrying sutras across the desert, across the mountains, through areas, infested with bandits or wild animals. You know, and for years, I mean, he spent years of his life on this journey to India, his journey coming back from India to China. Then when he got back into China, then spent, you know, the rest of his life translating the text from Sanskrit into Chinese. What an incredible life he lived. Now, and I look at what he did to bring Buddhism to so many people. And it's because of what Xuan Zang did that now we have the Buddhist teachings, don't we? You know, if he hadn't undergone what he did, and so many other people like him, I mean, he wound up to be somebody who was very famous, but there were many, many people who went from China and Korea and Japan and Tibet and Thailand and Sri Lanka and all over to India to get the teachings. And there were many, many people from India who traveled all over the world to bring the teachings. And they couldn't just get on a nice aircon MRT and go there. No. They couldn't go to Changi Airport, you know, get on a comfortable plane. They had to walk across the desert. They had to go through, you know, a lot of dangers. They talk about Atisha, who was one of the great Indian sages, when he went to Sumatra to in Indonesia to gain the teachings on Bodhicitta, on the awakening mind, from his teacher. He went by sea on a boat. I mean, can you imagine going on a boat in the 10th century? Yeah, 11th century? I think kind of scary, or not kind of, it wasn't some kind of nice cruise ship. Yeah? And there were tempests, and there were all sorts of things. The boat almost capsized many times. And yet, you know, he went on that dangerous journey to get the Buddhist teachings and then bring them back to India, you know, India, and then from India to bring them to Tibet. Yeah? So if we look at, like, what other people did before us, and how many, you know, great practitioners there were who really risked their life to bring the Buddhist teachings to various parts of the world, we gain tremendous inspiration from what they've done. And it's like, wow, if they went through all that, I can do my little piece here. Because, you know, now we have modern conveniences. I mean, we have telephones and internet. It's so much easier to communicate. People in the old days, you know, when they copied a text, you could spend years just copying one text. Now, you wanted to read a sutra, you couldn't go to the photocopy place and, you know, copy it. You had to walk somewhere, find the sutra, you know, borrow it, and then go and copy it out, word by word by word, you know, a text that was this big. Okay? So, I mean, we really have it easy nowadays. So if we think of what people did in the past, and that they've accomplished goals that we aspire to, it can give us a tremendous amount of courage and inspiration in our life. Or in your job, if you look at the people who came before you and who did that job and who, you know, did it in a very good way, or think of the people who started the company at the very beginning. It's not easy to start companies. Yeah? And some companies have been in existence, you know, years and years. And you really think of what those people went through. Or you even think of your own ancestors. You know, how many of you were from families who have always been in Singapore? Or maybe your ancestors came from China, you know, some area in China, or your ancestors came from India, or from Sri Lanka, or from Thailand, or somewhere else. You know, think of what your ancestors went through to come and live here in Singapore. Well, a lot of them went through a tremendous amount of difficulty. It wasn't easy leaving China 100 years ago. know, again, couldn't get on a nice, comfortable plane. And people went through all sorts of hardships. And just think what Singapore was like 100 years ago when they came. Yeah, not like it is now. No, little kampongs, everything very dirty, malaria everywhere. You know, I mean, just think about what our own ancestors went through. And, you know, to all the people who came before us, look what, you know, you've created here on this island. It's an incredible society. And, you know, if we really think of what our ancestors went through and the people before us went through to create everything that we enjoy, it gives us a real sense of inspiration that, wow, you know, they went through so much and look what they've accomplished. And I likewise can go through a lot and add my creative energies and my particular talents and skills and help make the society something better for future generations. Okay? So you can get a lot of inspiration looking at from what our ancestors have done. And then the eighth point is to know that hardships become easier. Yeah, that bearing hardships become easier and that it's possible to transform hardships into challenges that we then use to develop our inner resources and our inner skills. So when we go through periods of hardships in our life as we're working towards worthwhile goals, you know, instead of getting discouraged, know that our hardships build a lot of character and they help us find inner resources that we didn't know that we had. And that the more we practice and the more we learn, then hardships cease being so hard and they become much, much easier. Because even if we look in our lives right now with the things that we could do, they were all hard when we started out. Yeah. We were once little kids and we didn't know how to read. And at a certain point in our life, reading was really hard. Now we pick up a book, reading isn't hard at all. Yeah. When we were little kids, learning to write was difficult. We used to write our letters backwards, didn't we? Yeah. Now it's easy. So things that, you know, used to be hard, if we keep going, you know, with a positive motivation, with wisdom, with compassion, then the things that once were hard become easy. And we can really feel a sense of accomplishment in our lives.